life.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution. Brought to you by GhostBed.com.
Kobe James. That was my dude. That was my fucking dude.
He was your dude.
God damn it, man. I'm so sad. Dude. And I don't get sad over celebrities, but this was my Bourdain.
You've been less sad over family members.
Oh, yeah.
Dying.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but that's true.
It's weird. He was my fucking guy, dude. It's hard to explain. I'll try to today, because it seems ridiculous. Where you're like, you know, we talk about this all the time with celebrities' deaths. Where you're like, oh man, there's certain people though that mean more to you, for different reasons. And he was that guy for me, at least in LA. When I got to Los Angeles, my very first job, we're the same, Kobe and I are the same age. My first job was at Staples Center. And I was a waiter for the luxury boxes. I had had difficulties getting an agent when I moved to LA. And if you've heard part of this or some of this, forgive me, but I had sent out like 300 headshots and resumes every 2 weeks, right? I got nothing. I got one call back from a commercial agent who was just like, are you really 6'3"? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, too tall for car commercials. I hung up the phone. So I had to figure out how to get an agent. I knew they all went to Lakers games. Lakers were the biggest thing in town. And Staples Center was just opening, brand new. They were leaving the Forum and going to the Staples Center. And I got a job there. With that requirement, you had to be there, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Typically, the games are at 7:30 on West Coast time. Mm-hmm. And every day I came into work for a Lakers game, there was one guy on the court, just one, shooting over and over and over again. And it was Kobe Bryant. And they ended up winning. The Lakers won the championship that year. And it was amazing. And the town went crazy. And to see somebody's work ethic day in and day out like that every single day was amazing. And there was other young guys who would try to emulate him a couple of times. They'd pop in and try to do the workouts or try to match his workouts, and they couldn't. You know, it would last for a week or so, and then it would just still be Kobe over and over and over again. And when he won the championship and he became massive, and again, we're the same age, I was like, man, I hope that I can do something that great, that would be celebrated and blah, 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 right? It happened for me a short time after when I got my first movie with a new guy. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, dude, as I'm going to these parties and premieres and all this stuff, I was like, if I made it, like, it would be awesome if I was at the same party with Kobe Bryant. Like, that would be making it to me. And it happened. A couple years later, I get invited to one of Puff Daddy's fucking white parties, right? Every celebrity and their mother was there. Like, you name it. If a bomb went off, it would have killed all of Hollywood. And then Kobe walks in. And here's a dude my age with his wife. Here's a dude my age that, you know, I'm partying like a kid. So is everybody else there, like, including other athletes. Like, Shaquille O'Neal was there. He was getting fucked up. There's some other athletes that were getting, you know, A-Rod, those type of guys were there getting fucked up. But Kobe wasn't. And he just seemed more mature than every single person there. And he was already married at like 23, 24 years old. And the way he carried himself, like, and I got to meet him, you know, obviously I fanned out, Mm-hmm. And I went over and I was like, man, I love watching you play. And I worked at Staples and all this other stuff. And he was unbelievably down to earth and an awesome guy. And he enjoyed what was going on at the party. But then he whispered something to his wife of like, hey, I got to work.
Right.
We got to get the fuck out of here. Right. Whereas everybody else stayed till 4 or 5 in the morning. Rage, like he was not that dude, man. Mm-hmm. Where he could have been.
Yeah.
He was the biggest basketball player on the face of the planet. Like he could have been, but he was always working. Oddly enough, like when I had success in Los Angeles, because it's all fucking ebbs and flows, right? Kobe had success. Like when he was winning, I was winning. When he had down years and shitty years with the Lakers, like I had shitty times. And then to watch him battle back, it was in like 2011 that they, you know, after Shaq, that he won another title, which ended up being the last one. I was going through hard shit as well. And like, whenever I write, the Lakers games would always be on in the background. Kobe would always be doing something spectacular. And I felt if I just worked as hard as Kobe, if I had the same work ethic, the same things would happen. Again, good shit happened for whatever odd reason in LA at the same ebbs and flows as Kobe. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we had a similar work ethic, although it was two entirely different fields. Because at this point, it was writing. I knew my ticket had to have been writing. I figured you can outwork anybody acting-wise, and it still doesn't fucking matter. Like, you got to get picked out of 500 or however many people you're up against. But writing's a different story where you have a better chance if you work hard and keep pumping out a lot of content, that you'd have a better shot at success. And watching him play every single night, I was like, all right, great. I can keep doing this every single night. And that work ethic stayed. And then in 2013, they had a good team that was supposed to go to the playoffs, but the entire team was lazy. Kobe was getting older, and he kind of carried everyone on his back and was like, I'm going to get you guys to the fucking playoffs no matter what, and I really don't give a shit what happens, and all you guys can kind of just get the fuck out of my way. Mm-hmm. And I, again, same point in my life where I was kind of going through that of like, all right, these movies had started to come out. What's the next thing? What's the next big thing? What should I be doing? And that's when I started writing the book. I'd never done it before. I didn't even know if I could do it. It felt like climbing a fucking mountain. And it was just so fucking hard. Because a book is the equivalent of 4 movie scripts, 5 movie scripts, 1 book. And I'd written a bunch of movies, but not 5 in a row back to back on top of each other like that. And every night, Kobe was doing it behind me. I was like, I guess I can do this. So I just kept going as he kept going. And then at the end, he had essentially blew himself up. His last game of that year was game 80. NBA players play 82 games. Tore his Achilles, and I mean tore it on the court, but stayed, shot the 2 free throws. I don't know how, made both of them, got off the court. Lakers made the playoffs that year. He was crying in the locker room afterwards, still did a press conference after a torn Achilles, which is
he
crazy.
He came back from that.
Huh?
He came back from that.
He did.
Yeah.
And he came back from that. And towards the end of that, like, I don't know, I was just having a really fucking hard time with that book and kind of self-doubt of like whether or not I could do this and whether it would be any good or would people respond to it and blah, 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 blah. And I genuinely felt, I still feel this way, that book in particular, Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed, changed the rest of my life. DVDs were on their way out. It was getting harder and harder to make comedies. At that point, I saw it. It's not as drastic as it is now, but I saw it happening in Hollywood, and I was like, man, is it possible to still write the funniest shit on the planet? And I, to this day, I think that book and the sequel are the funniest pieces of fiction written, hands down. And because there's no restraints, I'm still shocked that Simon & Schuster bought it. And it was seeing somebody do something that seemed impossible for a year, essentially. And then I just kind of followed that model of like, well, if he can do this, I can do this. And I just kept saying that every day and doing it every day and watching him every day. And it was, I don't know. In all the things that we do in life, I still think it requires some form of inspiration from other sources. I don't think anybody's just self-inspired to do one thing. Whether it's a musician, you either hear other musicians that you admire. If you're writing, my go-to is music and sports, where it's just like, all right, the only person I could compare work ethic-wise to me, who I think at the time was Kobe. Music-wise, like, you know, I always write to music and all that other stuff. It's why when a few musicians have died over the years, especially on this podcast, we've talked about them, of like how much they meant to me. It was because it helped me in my career, unbeknownst to these people, obviously. And when he died, or look, even when he retired, I think we were shooting something in Los Angeles. I was finishing up a movie. I think it was Range 15.
Right.
And I remember I stayed one extra day because of the Lakers' home schedule had paired up, and I wanted to see Kobe play one last time because he was retiring.
Yeah.
And I changed my flight. You were cool with it. And I just said, hey, I
was like, yeah, go.
Yeah, go. I just want to see him one more time. There was maybe 4 or 5 games left. I was hoping to stay for his last game of the year. Mm-hmm. That would have required another 10 days for me to stay in LA. And
right.
I obviously have a family and I can't do that. But I stayed. I went to the game by myself. I bought my own ticket. I don't think I've ever been to a sporting event by myself either. I think that was the only time. Mm-hmm. And it was like a little kid. Like when he waved goodbye, because that's what he was doing at the end of those mm-hmm. games, I waved goodbye to him. And I literally just screamed out, thank you. He wasn't too far away, and obviously fucking everybody's screaming, but right. He had meant a lot to me. And then I came home. The last game was being played, and I was like, man, I hope Kobe just fucking goes for 50 tonight. Mm. But the first half, he wasn't that great. Like, it wasn't that great of a first half or a first quarter. You'd watched it with me, and you're like, I don't think it's Kobe's night tonight. You end up going to bed. Yeah. And I was like, man, regardless, I'm going to stay for the end of it and see what they have going on. I'm sure some people were going to speak. And at the end of the game, it was in Staples Center. And then he ends up dropping 60.
Yeah.
And then the place goes nuts. The announcers are going nuts. Everybody on Twitter is going nuts. And then he grabs the mic, makes an epic speech like nothing happened, and just said Mamba out, dropped the mic, and walked off the floor. And that was it. He had, besides walking off with a championship, he had one of the greatest exits in sports history. It's certainly the greatest performance in the last game of someone's career of all time. And I don't know who can top that, but
and Jeter did pretty good, but like nothing beats.
Well, basketball, one guy is able to take over a game, whereas Jeter.
Well, he did have that walk off, but like
hits, yeah.
But like, you're right. Just being able to end like that, and I'll just talk about if you're done.
No, I mean, sort of. It's.
I'll just talk about how it is, like, from someone that didn't follow him in that way's perspective, really
sure.
quick. He seemed superhuman. It seemed like nothing could kill him, right? He just seemed like liquid. Like, he would never turn to solid, which is, like, what's happened now, right?
Right.
And it seemed like, in my mind, I'm like, if a helicopter goes down, like, he would still be able to like live, right? Like grab the top or like, right? Like he just seemed like nothing could kill him. And being with his, the tragedy of it is that he just seemed so superhuman. He didn't seem real. The way that he played, the way that he ended, the way that he was, the way that he looked,
he
the way
real
that he,
in person
he didn't
either.
Seem like a like, real person.
Yeah.
And so you're like, unless it's like a gunshot to the head or like something, like nothing can really kill him. It's just how, I think that's how, why everyone is like, what?
Yeah.
Like it just seems like nothing can take him down. Nothing could have ever taken him down. And then him being with his daughter was huge, I think, for a lot of people that aren't huge sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the fact that it was like a turn into a dive. Like, in my mind, I wanted it to, like, hit a mountain and then not know what happened, right?
Right.
So the dive makes it very tragic, too, right? So I think that's the main thing for everyone that didn't have a relationship with him the way that you did or people did like that. It's just sort of like there's no way that that happened to that person. Because whether you liked football or sorry, basketball, whether you followed it, you knew him and you knew how unreal he was.
Yeah.
So it is affecting absolutely everyone. It's insane. I haven't seen that much coverage on someone dying in a very, very long time, right? I mean, every single channel all day yesterday.
I had this discussion last night with a couple of friends of mine who said, can you remember a celebrity in our lifetime that died that big, that died tragically, not like an overdose?
No.
Not
a car accident, not, I mean, there's something so crazy and tragic about the way he died. When he died, right after LeBron passing him, right?
Yeah, the night before.
And having this great, you know, thing, like, you know, it was a ceremony, right? Like, so were people honoring him too?
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody was.
Always.
It was a Laker passing a Laker.
Right.
And
so
for third on the all-time scoring list, and that was his last tweet that night was... congratulations, LeBron, on passing me. You earned it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, to me, like, because I want to clarify this. I did not have a relationship with Kobe Bryant. We weren't bros.
I know you didn't, but
it's just
what
there
you
is,
just said was that he was a part of
inspiration.
Your
yes.
life
yeah.
inspiring you.
For years
not
and years
saying
and years
that you
and
had
years.
A relationship. I'm saying
no,
that
I know.
He meant a lot more to you than... the majority of people that are affected by it, right? So even if you didn't have this ongoing thing with him, right? Or you weren't a huge fan.
Yeah.
That's also a relationship. If someone's a huge, huge fan of theirs, like since the beginning, that's a relationship that they had, right?
Well, I think, too, for me, seeing people, seeing work ethic has always been one of my biggest
things. Seeing superhuman, like... him coming back from an injury like that, nobody does.
Yeah, yeah.
In the time that he did,
yeah.
No one does that. How does your Wolverine body heal that way?
Right.
How were you able to go back out in that short amount of time? Anyone else would have been fucking out.
Yeah.
Down. End of career, retired, right?
Yeah.
Or they would have come back and not been that great. Right? That's kind of what Jeter did. Because Jeter's foot fell off as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And he came back, but he wasn't, you know?
Same. And you know, Kobe struggled towards the end. I mean, that game that I was at, I think it was like 4 or 5 left, right, in that season for him before he retired.
Mm-hmm.
My God, man. He was wrapped up like the Stave Puff Marshmallow Man.
Oh, yes.
In between every second that he wasn't on the court, it was pounds and pounds of ice. He had this Asian masseuse. I mean, just to get him on the floor game after game was fucking brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting there watching it, you're just like...
God damn.
It was miserable. And to go back to the work ethic, you've lived in Los Angeles forever. everyone is really, really fucking lazy. For a young kid, which is, it's weird to say because he was the same fucking age as me at the time, but for me to go in day after day to a job I wasn't particularly fond of and watch someone else who was in my, you know, he was already rich. He'd already made it. He didn't have to work that hard. But to see him do that every single day and shoot around and all that stuff, I was, for me, it was just hope and inspiration. And that's what you need to do in this life to succeed. You know, I would say him, my stepdad, watching him all through growing up, like those are the two biggest examples. You know, that Kevin Hart meeting at one time, work ethic wise of like, here's what you should do and seeing it succeed. Those are probably the only three people work ethic wise where you're like, they just outworked everyone and they were able to succeed and overcome things. But, yeah, I was in such disbelief yesterday because obviously hosting a sports show and, you know, with the millions of listeners we have on both of these shows, my phone was blowing up and I didn't believe it. There was the first four or five people that came through. I said, no, this isn't true. And then you hit me up and you were like, hey, did you hear this? And I was like, yeah, but only like, TMZ has confirmed this.
Yeah. TMZ has done this before.
Yeah. With Lil Wayne.
TMZ.
This is Lil Wayne was dead.
How disrespectful. So they, no one else reported on it because they wanted to inform.
Notify the families.
Notify the families first. And TMZ, you fuck, doesn't give a shit about that. So, of course, they were the first ones to report it because they don't care whether the fucking families are notified in a respectful way. So, unfortunately, that's what happened.
Right.
And everyone else that didn't report on it, good for you. Because that's the way that you're supposed to fucking do it. It took a while, man. It was supposed to take a while. So they needed to find out who was on it, notify their family, and then report on it, right?
Right. Even today, they still haven't officially said, you know.
That what?
That they're dead. It's still, even on ESPN, it just says sources, Kobe, daughter, die in helicopter crash because...
They have named all the other people.
They have, but only because of the manifest. So typically, you have to go through the remains and identify. I mean, when you have an explosion like that, it's like teeth and something else blah, blah, blah. But...
Because you can be logged and then not jump on the plane. I mean, I don't... Or the helicopter, I don't know a world when...
I hate TMZ, they're fucking garbage, but in this case with Kobe, that is one of the most famous people on the planet. Like,
I know.
What are you going to do? And if you know that information, the first person we hit up was a buddy of ours is in LAPD, and he flies the get-overs for people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for people, but for... LAPD.
Yeah.
And I hit him up and I was just like, hey man, can you confirm this? And he was like, I can't. But I can tell you this. It was so foggy this morning that we did not take off because the fog was too dense. So why this pilot decided to, or.
Well,
I don't know, but you know.
You know, Kobe has been.
Kobe's Kobe, and it's tough to say no to a celebrity. And
he's also taken, countless, because it's the Kobe copter, right? So it's how he gets around L.A.
The
way that he, because he needs to go from, you know, if you need to be from Malibu or something to downtown or wherever it may be, Calabasas, in 20 minutes, the only way to do it. So he has been doing this
for years.
It's not like he's flying far. He's literally going from like downtown to somewhere in Calabasas. So like for him, he's like, come on.
Yeah.
We're fine. We've done it a million times. Like, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And not that that's anyone's fault, but like, I'm sure you get that way. I'm sure like if it's fucking pouring rain, like sleet, I'm like, I still need to get there. Like, we'll just drive slow, right? And then you get into a car accident and you're like, okay, well, I needed to get there, right?
Right. And by the way, if you're listening and you're like, man, how frequent do you do that? A lot of people do. Kelsey Grammer, that was in his contract when he was doing Frasier all those years, was that he was going to be choppered from Burbank back to his house in Malibu every day. And that's how he got to and from work. A lot of these executives who live out in Malibu, that's in their contract. It's getting more rare now. So they don't have those kind of perks, but Kobe had $500 million, maybe more. So yeah, he could afford it and, probably did it a million times. So, to me, it didn't seem real yesterday. It doesn't seem real today. Today's the day after. And you see all these tributes and everything else and you're like, what the fuck? I mean, I just watched the game two nights ago and he was at the game. So yeah, I unbelievably shocking. And,
I just keep thinking, I don't know.
You know,
like I said,
not a lot of them get me.
Yeah.
Not a lot of celebrities get me where I'm like, all right.
For me, it's just the kid and him and how it happened. So again, like if you're just the last thing we'll say about it, but, if you're just someone that is affected by it, again, a normal person, not a huge fan, didn't follow his career, just kind of knew of him. It's just the tragedy of it.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it was him and his oldest daughter. So not only did they die, but, you know, his three other daughters lost their father and they lost their big sister.
And so it's like,
for the wife, she lost her husband. Yeah. She lost her oldest daughter. And
I'm just thinking about them. And then, I don't know. I think of, like, this last plane flight was like really hard for me for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's like, I don't know why. And it never is. Like, I'll get sick, but I'm never scared, right?
Yeah.
This last flight back, like, I couldn't sleep on the 4-hour leg. I kept waking up being like, we're going down. We're going down. And I never feel that way. But I don't know what it would be like. I don't know if people would be calm. I don't know if, you know what I mean? We talked about it on the show before, but I don't know why I felt that way. But I think it's because your kids aren't with you, or you just think you have things to live for.
Yeah.
Think is what it is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
he just seemed invincible to something like this.
Yeah. I think that's the main thing. Everyone's just so surprised because he doesn't seem real. He didn't seem real. He never seemed real. Even when you saw him, he just doesn't seem like a real person. So for a person that doesn't even seem like they walk the earth to be gone is crazy. And I think that's the main thing that everyone's just trying to grapple with.
Right.
Is like, we never even thought of him as a real person anyways. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
We thought of him as so much better, so much different. He just was crazy.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say about this is, like, I've seen some things of people saying, hey, man, who gives a fuck about a celebrity? People are dying every day and all that shit. And yes, that's true. However, individual people mean more to you than strangers and other things that go on. So, like, whoever's mourning for whatever they're going through, like, it's their own thing, and it's not everybody's. So, you know, I realize there's not Kobe fans out there, and I realize, you know, the ridiculousness of celebrity. However, this celebrity affected me personally, and, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about it. The other thing about, you know, the rapist thing is I've seen that a bunch on my feed and on other feeds. I remember that fucking trial as it was going on, and, you know, not only did they dismiss the case because of how ridiculous it was, the fucking chick was trying to set him up and had 8 different types of semen in her underwear and all that other bullshit. Like, and it got tossed.
He definitely had an affair, which, if that is something that really...
Yes. So if you want to call him an adulterer or whatever,
then
fine.
You are right about that.
Right.
But it did happen when he was very, very young and seemed to be making up for it and trying to live a good life after that. If that's something that, you know, if you don't allow people to make a mistake like that, then I totally understand that. But for me. I remember that. I remember how I felt about him during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that after that, he seemed to try and be a better person and make up for it and be good to his wife and good to his kids and try and make up for that mistake that he made. So that's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
And he was a young kid out on the road. So if any of you guys have not done fucking shit.
He was the most famous person in the world, I mean, at that time. So
yeah, and I don't think it ended up being rape.
It wasn't.
Yeah, so he definitely...
He got set up by this girl.
A big mistake. And need I remind you that we needed more than 10 girls to come out against Cosby for us to believe him. So
yeah.
Let's fucking calm down.
Yeah.
30 wasn't quite enough. There's still people that are like, I don't know.
Yeah. So rest in peace, Kobe. But man, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. He had his hands in so many things business-wise, too. Like,
right.
All of that is going to come out here in the next coming days. You're going to see how much he was truly worth, and it will be mind-altering to you.
Yeah.
Because that guy was well on his way to being a billionaire in business,
mm-hmm.
Not just in basketball. So we got some sponsors to pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air, Jabes.
The whole B-Wagon.
First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. I'm a little somber today. I apologize, but cried my tears inside of a ghost bed last night.
You did.
Into the pillow.
Can I say that?
Oh, yeah. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, you cried.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Cried when the kids were born, but other than that, I have no recollection of you crying about anything.
I'm telling
you.
And
I've tried to make you too.
It's weird, man. When if somebody
I tried to make you cry, yeah, and you will not do it.
When somebody's been, I don't know, man, just a constant, just on. He was always on in the room or the games were on. I used to listen to games on the radio. Like I was a gigantic fan, and
well, he was still, yeah.
It just. Again, because I write every night, and I wrote at those hours, so I would time. I would write till like 5 in the morning, right? Yes. 5 or 6 in the morning every single night. Obviously, before we had kids, and 6 nights a week. I would only take one night off, and that was sometimes. But the way that my sleep schedule was to go to the gym and meetings and auditions and all that other bullshit, I would have to come home and sleep. I would set it my alarm for the game. I would nap, set the alarm for the game, literally start writing again when the game came on so that it was on in the background, and then continue on about my day. But just strange. When somebody was such a part of your life for fucking 20 years, you felt like you're just, it's odd, man.
Well, I think Kobe would want you to do a ghost bed sponsor.
To do the radio.
The way that.
That Kobe would.
That Kobe would have.
With the
vigor.
Yeah.
And life.
That it deserves.
Of a man with his whole life ahead of him.
Yeah, if you've laid down in a ghost bed from ghostbed.com/drinking bros, you know what time it is. You know that you might even get that dick wet. Maybe.
You've been so mad at me because I'm like, I get home, I'm like, peace. I'm going to my ghost bed.
Sucks. I miss you.
Quit it. Just come vacation. To bed.
I miss Vacation Jesse.
Oh my gosh. Vacation Jesse is.
Yep. Miss my wife. Miss my Vacation Jesse.
Oh, hush.
Best Jesse in the world.
I come home. I have kids.
Best Jesse in the world.
I have kids.
Ghostbed.com/stringerbros is also made for kids. You can get a child's mattress and get a little twin. A little 2020.
Yes. Both of our kids have
ghost beds. They do. All of our kids. Go to twins. Look, I think there's a flash 25 sale right now. That's up. That's 25% off. And I believe it's for like 3 days. So use it now. If you're military or a member of the first responder community, you also get 15% off. Scroll to the bottom of the page. Click it, take it, and rip it. Adjustable bases are half off right now. They got a million deals. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. Get on it. Next up, we got strikeforceenergy.com.
Woo! Boom, 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 boom. Shabloinkers. I need a little bit of
You've been a little Steve Forrest yourself. Yeah.
Lemon actually is very good for your a white claw.
Claws.
If you do lemon in a black cherry, which is a lot of people's favorite these days. I thought it was mango.
Yeah.
People are saying, ew, gross. Now it's black cherry, but the lemon in black cherry, good night, Irene.
Good night, sweet Charlotte. Best part about it, no carbs, no sugars. So you can pop that in there. Good to go, last longer than 5 hour energy. They got four amazing flavors, grape, ridge, lemon, and orange. 10-pack, 40-pack, 750-milliliter bottle. If you're watching on Drinking Bros Podcast on YouTube right now, you can see me holding up the box. The boxes you get are the same ones that are at the counter in 7-Eleven. So you just leave that on your counter and get ready to rock. Squeeze it into any liquid available. Boom, boom. It's this one right here. Pop a couple squirts in and go. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code REVOLUTION. 20% off, and they ship everywhere in the entire world. They also have a subscription of the month club. Last but not least, James, we got StraightRazors.com.
Ooh, that's a clean cut. Smooth. Oh, you like it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Voice gone now. Yep. Finally, yep. That just did it. I do it for the people. I do it for the people. Yep. I do it for the razors.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
I do it for the stash. What is your son said? Dad, can you grow it out so that it could curl?
He wants a Raleigh Fingers mustache. I could do it with the
you
mustache
could,
wax.
If you use this stuff, you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that.
Come on.
It would take forever.
I don't know. You've got the stuff. You've got all the stuff you need right in front of you.
It would take forever and like ain't no one got that kind of time to grow a Raleigh Fingers mustache.
Who are you?
What? I'm serious. You know how filthy that is? Those things are gross. When I see people with those out in public.
We could just go up to Durham or Asheville.
Exactly.
Take it for a spin. Come on back and cut it off.
When I see people with those things, I'm like, oh, you dirtbag. Because what happens when you wash it, right? It just goes straight down. It lays down like a fucking toupee.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's hard still, right? Isn't this hair?
No, it gets softer because you have to grow it out longer. Therefore, when you...
Yeah, then it just lays down.
Ugh, gross. Just
like hair. Those fish that have the like...
Yeah. Is that what you want?
I don't want it. Your son wants it.
Yeah, but I...
And since I don't see you anymore anyways.
I know. No, maybe I will. Go to straightrazors.com for all your shaving needs. They got everything you need in this life to be a real man, a real hombre. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Smolder aftershave is my jam. It's my favorite. So last night, obviously in the midst of the Kobe-ness that we got caught in.
The Grammys, and I want to say Alicia Keys, perfection.
Yes. So
perfection.
Odd thing about it is as people are lining up outside of Staples Center to pay their respects to Kobe, as they'd put him on the Jumbotron outside, rest in peace and all that stuff, thousands of people started descending upon Staples Center for Kobe, and the Grammys was going on. So it was a real fuck all for a lot of people down there. Mm. And you're having the Grammys in the house that Kobe built.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. Like I said, the year that it opened, they won the championship with Kobe. And then they went on that run for three years.
Yeah.
Everybody was down there. Every musician was forced to talk about it on the red carpet. Alicia Keys was hosting the Grammys. She came out. When she came out with Boyz II Men and saying it's so hard to say goodbye, that's when... I lost it.
She's
again.
Just this
I got a little
perfect,
choked up.
Yeah. She did this. She did it last year, didn't she? She hosts last year.
Yes.
She just has this perfect
vibe.
And it feels like she honored what was happening, but also was able to bring it back up to like, let's share this music. Let's make it a good night in this perfect way that I don't think anyone else could have done. And I mean anyone else. Not being too somber about it, not being too, dramatic. Just very, I mean, you know I don't say that about hosts a lot.
No,
me
neither.
But she was absolutely perfect.
But the problem with it was it overshadowed the Grammys, and it felt like the air was let out of that room the entire night, and they couldn't get it back. They couldn't get any excitement going. And
Jonas Brothers, even anytime there was excitement, it seemed inappropriate. So like when you're getting excited about something, you're like, I don't feel like I should. And so it was like this weird thing that you felt bad, but then you like went with it a little bit. Lizzo was great.
Yeah.
She started off, this is very upbeat.
Here's the thing is like if you would have kept, and you can't because it's the Grammys, but if you would have kept, if everybody was upbeat like that, you could have tried to get over the hump, right? Because that's a tall hill. But you go back and forth to slow country. Ballads and shit like that. And there's
your
nothing
dad's
to do.
Ex, huh?
Yeah, Tanya Tucker. She won last night.
I love that little rendition. Her voice is exactly like mine right now.
Tanya Tucker partied back in the day, and I can personally attest to that. She smoked. She did all the things. Literally
good
all
for
the
her.
Things.
And, good for her.
Yeah. It's weird. Her voice now, because I hadn't heard that song.
It was a strain for sure, but.
Well, no, but it sounds really cool and interesting.
It does. Very just, Tom Waits like.
Yes.
But I don't think that's how her voice always was.
It was not.
No.
It was not
so
ever
she is,
like that.
She has definitely come into.
When I heard her sing last night, if you would have blindfolded me and said, who is that? I wouldn't have known.
Bob Dylan, Tom Waits.
I
don't know.
I wouldn't have known. But again, you go to slow ballads like that.
Yeah.
You can't get out of that climb and you're just like, all right, cool. And then the other part about it was the people that there was a lot of people that could have won last night. And you could have shared the love. Instead, they gave every award to Billie Eilish. And
pop solo performance was Lizzo, but pretty much everything else, right?
But the problem with pop solo performance is she didn't get to go on stage to accept.
Why?
Because they only do it for a certain amount of awards.
Oh, okay.
And I want to say there's like maybe 8 to 10 total. And the last four are the biggest of the night. The problem was Billie Eilish won all of them.
Okay.
And look, man, I like Billie Eilish. I thought that album was good.
Not every, yeah.
That Truth Hurts by Lizzo
was
one of the biggest songs last year, if not the biggest song last year, besides. I would have said Post Malone, but that was the year before with Rockstar. Besides fucking Old Town Road or something, right? Which even Old Town Road won something. And so did Lizzo.
Well, okay, so I was really, I guess I want to talk about that for a second. Like, Old Town Road was this season? Why does it seem like it was last year, right?
Because it was played to death.
So it was almost too much, right? To where if it had come out.
Macarena. It's the highest, by the way, it is past everything.
So why?
It is the highest played song of all time now.
Why did that not win anything?
It did.
I mean, it was.
It did. It just wasn't on the award show.
Okay. I mean, it was.
Best pop duo.
Okay.
Him and Billy Ray Cyrus.
I mean, it was up for everything.
Yep.
As well, so.
But look, if you're looking at great songs, I liked Old Town Road. Right? I think it's cool, right? I thought it was hilarious and rad. I don't know to this day that it was a serious song, and therefore, I have no problem that got shut out. It did win an award. That kid is a Grammy winner now.
Okay.
And he did. They did get something. It just was not on the telecast. Now, the awards that were on the telecast for Best Song of the Year, Best Album, all that other shit. Mm-hmm. All of them went to Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish. Was Posty there or no?
No.
Okay.
He didn't show up.
He was
up
only
Taylor.
Up for one, I think. Or he was up for duo and he was up for Song of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Record of the Year. So he was up for that.
He was up for the big awards. Yeah.
To that.
Him, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift didn't come either.
Well, Taylor Swift wasn't going to come.
Wow.
She was never going to come.
Either way. She
doesn't
come
unless she knows she's going to win.
Posty didn't come. Post Malone didn't come. And, I mean, look, truthfully, fuck, man. Because they kept cutting away to Lizzo. She was backstage or in her seat. She was just so hopeful to get to be on stage and get an award. And it never happened.
It did happen one time. I did see her one time.
On stage giving a speech?
Yeah, so they had her. She was one of the first of the night.
All right. If so she gets to be on stage.
Yeah.
She's
so
right.
She's behind. I think she had just performed and she was doing that like, oh my God. And then she won. She went out there and she kind of brought it into Kobe a little bit of like, things like tonight make me realize that all my little problems are nothing.
Oh, you're right.
Everything
yes,
I
yes,
was
yes,
thinking.
Yes.
And yep. It was a really great speech. Yeah. And I'm glad that she got to go up one time. But that was it. And I forget what it was. It was something kind of smaller.
Yeah.
I want to say it was solo performance.
It was pop performance. You're right. I'm looking at it right now.
So she got to do that one.
Yeah. All right. Then I'll take that back. She was good. Tyler, the Creator winning was cool. Because his album was fucking rad.
That performance was insane.
Oh, he's out of control.
Out of control.
It's best.
I was scared.
There's no other way to.
And our son, our 5-year-old, loves him, and I felt a little bit uncomfortable. Like
he was
gonna get
swearing in it. I mean,
there isn't, but it was scary a little bit, and he was just like, he was just watching, like. I hope he's cool because of that kind of stuff, right? Like he's into weird stuff like that. He's into like Beastie Boys, he's into like weird videos. Like I hope that his little creative mind is like
from an artistic view,
popping.
Yeah. But the rest of it, like I was unaware how many people love Ariana Grande. Jesus Christ. So they were raging on Twitter for her not winning last night, which I'm gonna be real with you here. I don't care if her fans come after me. None of those songs were good enough. They did not beat Lizzo's songs, in my opinion. Or
the videos were good, Hannah.
Yeah, or Post Malone. The videos were great.
The videos were good.
I just didn't. The music. The songs were just meh. They were okay.
Meh.
Bon Iver was up for a couple of them.
I saw that.
His album was great. The songs were great, and the songs, even those, were
it's
better.
Just
they
not
deserve
that,
to win.
It's just not that kind of year, as you could tell.
Right.
We're not going in that direction. But
speaking of that. Mm-hmm. I guess you would call them a news site. It's called Slate.com.
Yes, I know Slate.
Yeah, I read them occasionally. And
they're
they
more
had the
of a
best
podcast now. But yeah.
Oh, really?
They're more of a podcast media company now. Yeah.
They had a great article this morning that just said the 2020 Grammys felt like a party thrown by your dad. And it's true.
How so?
Because it says the awards have gotten so bad, even the winners didn't want them. At the end, the last two times Billie Eilish got up there, she was so embarrassed. She was just like, enough already. And one of them, she said, I'm really sorry, but I think this should have gone to you, Ariana Grande, for this album.
You have to.
She's five. No,
Adele did that too. Like once you win a bunch, you have to be like, Beyonce.
The last one, she got up there, her and her brother, because her brother writes all this shit with her. Mm-hmm. And they literally just said, thank you. And walked off the stage. That was the only thing they said. And it was for the biggest award of the night. But at this point, she'd gotten up there over and over and over again. And it was just like, holy shit. And so I understand this headline where it felt like a party thrown by your dad. Here's why. Every dad is driving their kid around in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soccer, whatever. And probably listening to Billie Eilish. And it's like, this is the fucking cool thing of the night.
Oh, hey, guys, I know what's like, maybe like Tom Hanks. Maybe Tom Hanks threw the party.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There is like there's some video of him. He's going over to the girls of Hustlers. You know the movie?
Yeah.
I don't think he even knows at all what the movie is or what it's about.
Right.
And it's dorky ass Tom Hanks going over there and being like, can I be one of the girls? Like, and it just seemed very like it would have been funny if he knew what it was, but he didn't really. Anyways, so Tom Hanks threw a party and gave all the awards to Billie Eilish. Is that what you're saying?
It's what it felt like. Yeah. And like, look, it, not that Billie Eilish isn't great. She should have won some of these, but not all of them. All night long, and it was just like,
to me, it's bad guy. I mean, and even her performance, she could have, like you're saying, brought the energy back up again with Bad Guy, but she went with
the new song.
No, it was an older song. It was from her record that she was winning for or up for, but it was very slow and very it was a slower one. It's anyways.
Yeah. But I mean, look, and to put Old Town Road as far as like record of the year and shit like that. Like, you know, and then the BTS thing. I don't know what the deal, like, I realize they're crazy popular, right? Around the world.
What do I always say about them?
They're trying to shove them into everything now. And like, dude, I don't get them at all. I love music across the board. Everyone else last night, I get. I do not understand the BTS thing. Like, it's weird because they kind of look like Americans, but they're a Korean, they're K-pop. Some of their songs are normal English.
They try and speak without an accent, but it comes off like the room, you know? Like, I'm from New Orleans.
Yeah.
The Tommy Wiseau. The Big Easy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of comes off like that. I've always said that there's a couple things that the world is playing a prank on me about. Sushi and these guys. To where it's like, nobody really likes sushi, right? Like, I'm looking around like, you crave this raw fish. It's a joke. It has to be a fucking joke. And BTS, these like Korean pop things that are happening.
Yeah.
The whole world is playing, I'm being punked. Oof. There's no way that that's a real thing that people like, right? And are not laughing at that, or we have enough of a Asian population here that it just takes over or something. I have no idea. But as an American person,
so they
it's not
flood,
funny to you at all? Like,
they flood Twitter and anything they do, every movement they make and all this stuff. And like, look, man, if we're going like boy bands, okay, because this is what they are, right? Mm. They're not a man band, obviously. If we're going boy bands,
band,
fucking Backstreet Boys. I get it. I'm not a fan, but I get it.
Right.
They had a million hits. I understand it. Fucking Jonas Brothers, dude. I understand their whole shit and I get why people love them and it's awesome. Right.
Oh, sure.
I don't turn them on in my car, but I understand why they are popular
you can,
and they have
you
hits.
Can wrap your head around
this.
It.
I do not understand at all. I can't name a gigantic hit song that I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard people rocking out to that in their car or kids or whatever. Like fucking Timberlake's band. What was that? NSYNC. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like I got that whole shit.
Oh heck yeah.
But I don't understand these. The English.
It'd be like NSYNC. It'd be like NSYNC going to Korea and trying to dress exactly like and look Korean.
Right.
And like speak really horrible Korean, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. It's like if you're K-pop Korean guys coming over here, like that's fine. But the contacts and the blonde hair and really trying to trick us into thinking that you're American because you're not. Anyway, you know that song that you hate a lot?
Yeah.
That was Winner, best rap song. I remember when that first came out, you're like, listen to this bullshit.
It's him saying a lot, 50,000 times. Yeah,
he says a lot.
Like, look, Tyler the Creator, I'm cool with. Like, that was a cool album, totally different, way different. And
the rest of
it just felt like a dad night. And I was bored.
A dad or a mom? I mean, really, moms,
I was bored with it at the end.
Every mom is like, bad guy.
Yeah. I was bored with the whole thing. The other thing is the last I'll say about the Grammys. If you're Billie Eilish, right, she's built this kind of empire of cool where she wears baggy clothes and you don't know why, you know.
It's cover-up culture, but yeah.
Right, whatever that is, right? But when something like that becomes too popular and too big, then everybody else turns against it, it seems like. Like kids and all that other shit, right? Mm-hmm. Last night it felt like she was getting just too big where you're like, God damn it, stop going up on stage.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like the Tiffany Haddish effect.
Yeah.
Right? Where, again, they root for you, and then they go, too much. Now we fucking hate you.
Yeah.
And it literally is just like this. So,
and
I mean,
her
I
next
hope-
album sucks, they're going to absolutely come for her.
Kill.
Yeah.
So, but she also is very young, so she also has that going for her where she's not even 18, so we can't really be fucking with a kid. You know what I mean?
I'm not.
Like once she's,
I'm not
no,
at all.
I'm saying no. I'm saying that's gonna keep her sheltered a little bit for a while until she like gets older. Then people can start making fun of her. But at this point, she's a girl that's under 18. Like we can't really be fucking coming for her, right?
But if I'm the Grammys, why not sit behind closed doors and realize, all right, man, in order to keep these artists cool. Look at their
they
whole
don't care
vibe,
about that.
But split it up, man.
They
you could
don't
have
care
given,
about keeping the artists cool.
I could have given one to Lizzo, one to, you know, all these people. It's just, you know, it is what it is. But the Grammys might have killed Billie Eilish last night. We'll
possibly
see.
Possibly, and she may have felt that.
We'll see, yeah.
She may have been like, eesh, I better go.
Yeah, that's what it really, really seemed like. Watch right. The last couple awards,
right,
man.
Right, right, right.
Ugh. I want to get into this fucking coronavirus. Jabes, what's up?
Where is it coming from?
China. Snakes, allegedly, is the cause of this.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And it's starting to affect now the U.S., where there's a few cases reported, obviously California, and then a couple in Chicago. But here's the odder thing about this is today it affected the United States stock market. Clearly serious. Dow's down 300 points just based on the fears of this virus, because you're looking at travel stocks. So like, you know, airline stocks are going down, all this other shit, because people are quarantined. There's, 57 million people quarantined in China right now. It's also going to affect trade and companies and how you're going to get your products. Some of the streets are fucking ghost towns because they're not allowed to go outside.
Right.
So I don't know what the fuck this is, man.
Well.
It's odd,
just
right?
Just watch. It's. Pandemic on Netflix came out at the exact same time as coronavirus.
Okay.
Watch it. It's freaky how it breaks all of this down, how it happens. I don't know how they planned it in that way.
Okay.
But it's such a complex thing. It's really hard to even understand what a pandemic is, right? But that's what they're saying this is becoming. So that's all I can say. Watch it. So crazy.
Some of the
all the symptoms and everything.
The other interesting stocks that are down are a lot in Vegas. Wynn Resorts, MGM, United, Delta, and American Airlines, obviously. But you know, there's a big Asian contingency that travels to Vegas a lot, and
they were everywhere with their masks and stuff.
When we were in Vegas,
I was very scared.
Strange, right?
Thankfully, I stayed in the room the entire time.
You're a little sick today.
I am, but I think it's just from talking for 20 shows, as you know. I think the same thing happens to you when you just like do that many in a row.
Yeah.
It's not even really sick. It's just your voice is gone, right?
Uh-huh.
And then immune system's down or whatever. But I am freaked out. For sure.
Yeah.
Because we were just traveling, surrounded by Asians, which, you know, I'm already not okay with.
Yeah. Well, Jabes, now there's a disease, so.
I mean, but thank you for wearing the mask. I will say this. They've always worn the masks. So thank you. Because they always fucking have some shit going on over there.
Oh, Jesse.
Some fucking bullshit. Jesse. And when I say blatant disregard, this is not one of those, right? The mask, that's very considerate. So I take it back.
Okay. All right. Okay. I just.
But why don't you guys just stay put for a little bit, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're going to.
they're forced to, for sure.
I remember this something like this popped up a few years ago. What was it? Ebola? It was just like, we're all going to die. And there was a couple cases in Miami and some other shit. And they eventually figured it out, hopefully. But that'll be the
same
with this one.
Isn't Ebola like from food and stuff?
I think that's E. coli.
Oh, okay.
So
the Ebola, yeah, the Ebola virus. Yeah. I forget what it
they'll
is.
They'll figure
that,
it
that
out.
That was probably fucking Asian too.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. That's the way I look at it. Jesse. Oh, Jesse.
Was it not?
James.
Or was it Mexico?
You're going a little too far now, James.
One of those.
You're going too far. But yeah, so we'll see. I think they'll figure it out. I think they'll figure it the fuck
I
out.
I fucking die because of some fucking Asians in Vegas. I'm going to be pissed.
Peed off.
You're pissed.
Peed
Wouldn't
off.
That just be the way that I go, you guys? Wouldn't that just be it? All that shit she talked. They took her down.
Yeah.
They found her.
You think so?
They traveled from the Wynn to Bellagio.
There you go.
And they got me.
Yeah. Fucking got you, James. They got you. Let's get to the revolutionary figure of the day, shall we?
We shall.
We shall. What's that for?
I don't know. I'm trying to think who it's going to be.
You know,
I mean,
obviously because of Kobe, but this is going to be Michael Jordan on this one because he just came out with his statement. And look, that's who Kobe modeled his entire game and career and all of that stuff after. And to me, Michael Jordan was so revolutionary. I didn't think anybody would be able to match it. And I think that's why everybody enjoyed Kobe Bryant so much, watching him play basketball all these years, is he was the closest we had to Jordan. And look, he left the game right around the same time Kobe entered. So the league could have gone to shit.
Jordan did kind of mentor Kobe or
yes.
take him. And then he wouldn't with LeBron, correct?
Correct.
But Kobe did a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Jordan doesn't let a lot of people in. He let Kobe in.
That's fair.
When they asked, out of anyone in the NBA, who would you not want to face? His only answer was Kobe Bryant. So, and when they asked him why, he goes, look, he stole my moves and he does them better than me. So, you know.
But they were cool. That wasn't
yes.
like a fucked up thing.
No.
They were cool.
They were cool. And the other weird part about it was how cool. So then Jordan did this with Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, Kobe did this with other kids in the NBA that were coming
right.
up. So my favorite player on the Atlanta Hawks right now is this kid named Trae Young. And Trae Young was bawling. When he heard, because Hawks had to play a game last night, and it was right
yeah.
before the game that he found out. He was bawling, his mom yeah. was there and everything else. Turns out him and Kobe had been calling each other for, you know, a year, going back and forth, and he was trying to help other kids that were coming up in their games. Mm-hmm. And doesn't do it with a lot of people. Jordan didn't do it with a lot of people, but he did with Kobe. And in that gap of seeing the greatness of Jordan for all these years, and then he's gone, for somebody to step in like Kobe and give us the same treat night in and night out that Jordan gave us. Right place, right time. And he was the dude, man. And it was fun to watch. The other guys that were along in that era with like Tim Duncan and them, fucking snooze festus to me. Just boring.
Snooze festuses.
Yeah. Festuses, you know. I know a lot of people like LeBron, but LeBron's not he's not Kobe. He never
no,
will be.
He never will be.
Game doesn't look the same, real herky-jerky. Doesn't have the looks Kobe did. There's something sexy about Jordan and Kobe where you're just like, God damn it, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. One of my friends that posted something was mainly just talking about how hot he was.
LA?
Huh?
An LA friend?
No, here.
That's funny.
Okay. A mom.
Yeah. I know it was.
And like, you're not wrong.
No.
But eesh.
Yeah. Well.
Hey. Everyone's sad for their own reasons.
Exactly. They really are.
Same with you as like supermodels and stuff. Like,
look, so, yeah,
it's
when
sad
supermodels
to lose
and
a
porn
sexy
star
motherfucker
side.
Like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
sad.
Either way. But I got to put the Kobe trophy up.
And it will
on
stay
on my desk. Yes,
and there it shall stay.
And there it shall stay. When he won his first title, they made these little things all over Los Angeles, and there was a race to get them. And I had to get my Kobe one. That was from 20 years ago. Mm. Either way, Jabes, fun show. Appreciate doing it with you, and I'm glad we're still alive. Don't get on a plane here without me, okay?
Oh my gosh!
If I go down with you, I'm fine. You know?
Really, though? That's kind of what I thought about. I was like, I'd rather go down alone. Because I wouldn't be wanting to worry about the other person. You know? Like, I'd want to be like, okay, you guys are fine. When you care about people more than you care about yourself,
yeah,
then you're like, okay. Like, the kids are fine. Husband's fine. Okay. Like, I'm okay with that. If you guys, any of you guys were with me, oof.
All right. Mm-mm. I'd want to be with you because I know you'd be scared.
But wouldn't you want to know that I'm okay when you're dying?
Well, hopefully I'm with you, you know, I'm with you. And it's like, hey, we're going there together, babe. You know?
He's not getting it.
I want to go with you.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know?
Okay.
Weird.
Okay.
But you think about that shit. Okay. So, yeah. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I'm Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Give us some kind reviews on iTunes. The advertisers fucking love them, I guess. So
yeah.
We have to have them. Go to iTunes and rate it
a 5.
We
forget to ask always.
I know. We always forget to do it.
Please do, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. We'll be right back.